you're on the church page, with hashtag EFBC together, El Dorado First Baptist Church together. And I don't know if you know how those work. If it actually creates a link, and you press on that link, and you get to see everybody who's hashtagged that with their photo. So give us a way to connect. Even though we can't be together in the sanctuary this morning, we can still be together in spirit and know that we are encouraging one another. I've been talking about King Jesus the last few weeks, and what greater time is there to acknowledge that Jesus is our King than on Easter Sunday, the day he died for me, the day he died for you and me, the day he died for us. And I want to take us back in the scriptures for a moment here. I want you to think about everything that has taken place in these hours before and during the cross, and then on that Easter Sunday morning. Now, in a moment, I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 28, the first verse. But we need to get the picture here. We need to get the mood. We need to understand what the people who were experiencing this, the eyewitnesses, what they were going through. The disciples were with Jesus there in the garden, and they struggled to stay awake that night as he was praying, that this all began to come to a head as Jesus came from praying, and Judas appeared with the guards, and Judas kissed Jesus on the cheek, and Peter pulled out his sword and attempted to defend Jesus, and Jesus said, "Put that away." And they took Jesus and they held this trial. And they falsely accused him, and their witnesses couldn't all get on the same page. But finally, the high priest said, he's claiming to be God. And rightly so. And they took him to Pilate, and you're familiar there. Pilate questions him and says, "I can't find any fault in this man. I see no reason to execute him." And they send him to Herod, and Jesus won't even talk to Herod. And Herod sends him back, and they come back to Pilate, and Pilate has him whipped, has him scourged, 39 lashes. A terrible physical torture. And still they're not satisfied. Still they demand that Jesus be crucified. And Pilate finally relents. And he turns him over to the Roman soldiers for crucifixion. But before they take him again. And they press that crown of thorns on his head. And they put a purple robe on his shoulders. And they punch him with their fist. And they mock him. And they spit on him. And they totally torture and humiliate him. All the while, the disciples, they've been scattered. Some of them have hung around. Peter hung around there that night and denied him three times, and realized when the cock crowed that he had done exactly what Jesus said. We know that John was with Mary, Jesus' mother, at the foot of the cross. But understand, this is Jesus. They've confessed him that we believe you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they believe that he is the King. They have proclaimed him on Palm Sunday, the King of Israel. And all of this has come crashing down in waves of disappointment, in waves of uncertainty, in waves of fear. And they see Jesus brought out, carrying that cross, collapsing under the weight of the cross, taken to Golgotha, to the place of the skull, and nailed to that cross. And they watch from a distance, and they watch watch him die. And with his death, all their hopes of victory and power and life come crashing down. We know from the scripture that the disciples gather back together. They're literally hiding behind locked doors in fear of the Jews. A small group of the ladies, the women who had followed him, because they could not properly prepare his body for burial because of the Sabbath day, made plans to come to the tomb to properly prepare Jesus' body and to honor him in that way. With uncertainty and fear and disappointment, they show up at the tomb. Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly, tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." They look and they see the empty tomb. And then it says they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." We read these familiar words, this tremendous passage from Matthew, where Matthew tells us about this historical event that happened where Jesus had died on the cross, and they had taken his body down and they had laid that body in a borrowed tomb, put a stone over it and sealed it with a Roman seal and guarded it with a Roman guard. The high priest, the Sanhedrin council that plotted against Jesus and took him to Pilate and had him turned over for execution, they couldn't keep him in the grave. A Roman guard. How many men that was, I don't know, but it's plural. Could not keep him in the grave. That Roman seal couldn't keep him in the grave. The authority of Rome. The stone rolled over the mouth of the grave could not keep King Jesus in the grave. The grave could not hold him. And he rose again. He is King Jesus. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Son of God, our Savior and Redeemer. And I want you to see this morning that King Jesus is the Lord over life and death. No one else has risen from the grave in the way that Jesus did. Now, Jesus brought the dead to life as he was living. And Jesus brought other dead to life even after his resurrection as the apostles shared the gospel. There were those who died and Jesus rose, brought back to life the power of Christ. But I want us to see this, that King Jesus rose from the dead, and that means that he is indeed Lord. He has absolute authority. He rose from the dead. He has authority over both life and death. In John chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus said this, No one takes my life from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it back up again. Think about that. Who do you know? Who among us has the authority and the power to determine when they will live? Have you ever thought about the timing of your life? Have there been times when you've thought, boy, I wish I would have been born in another day? Have you ever thought as you studied history and different periods in the world, did you ever think, I wish I could have been born then? Maybe some of you maybe have done that, some of you maybe not. But no one has that authority, do you? We could not tell our parents, hey, I could not message my mom and dad and say, I want to be born August 26, 1957. That's right. I'm that old. 1957. I had no say in the matter. I have no authority over when I will live. But Jesus Christ has that authority. We don't have any authority over when we're going to die. Death comes. It's a certainty. We don't choose when we live or die. And we certainly, on the day when we die and our hearts flatline, none of us have the authority to say, I'm going to live again. Now, let me say this. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have repented of your sins, and you have trusted Christ as your Lord and He is your King, and He has forgiven you of your sins, and His Holy Spirit is in you, and you are born again, yes, you will live again. But not on your power, not on your authority. It's from the power of the cross and the power of the resurrection. It's the power of Jesus Christ. It is the authority of Christ over life and death that we know we can live again. He has absolute authority over life and death itself, but he also has absolute authority. King Jesus is Lord and King over sin and over Satan. The Bible tells us death is the consequence of sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. We die. The reason death exists in this world is because of sin. Sin is the condition of our heart that separates us from God and turns us from God to pursue our own authority and our own agenda and our own desires and our own wills. We choose to go our own way, and that's sin. We choose to ignore His authority, and that's sin. That's what the Bible says that sin is. I want you to think for a moment about the authority of King Jesus and the authority of our God. The Bible says that all things were created for Christ and through Him, by Him. Well, Jesus is the Word. And the Bible says that God spoke and creation happened. And so Christ has this kind of authority. He says to the ocean, this is your limit. Ocean, you are here. You stop here. And He says to the mountains, you rise up here. Mountains, you go there. He says to the wind, this is where you blow. And He says to the rain, this is where you fall. He speaks to all creation. He says to creation, do this. And creation responds in immediate obedience to Him. And then He looks at us. And you and I, we have the audacity to look back at God, at King Jesus, and look Him in the face and say, no, you have no authority over me. I'm going to choose what I want to do. I choose what is best. I'm the authority in my life. I'm the authority in my family. That's sin. But in the resurrection, we see that Christ has power over sin and Satan. You see, Satan has a claim on us because of our sin. Because of our sin, we stand guilty before God. And Satan says to God, the Bible calls Satan the great accuser. And Satan looks at us and he says, he's guilty of sin. She is guilty of sin. She's mine. He's mine. And Christ died on that cross and rose again to be Lord over sin and Satan. Death is the payment of sin, and Jesus made that payment. Jesus is Lord over death, and He's Lord over sin. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul wrote these words. And he says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So He's Lord over life and death. He's Lord over sin and Satan. And I want to take just a moment here and take you back to that mood I tried to set earlier with the disciples, with their disappointment and with their fear. And what happened there when they discovered that Jesus was alive? It didn't happen for everybody all at once. Mary was there and at the tomb and very soon saw Jesus, saw the tomb empty and saw Jesus. John and Peter ran to the tomb and saw the empty tomb, and they did not see Him right away. The scriptures give the implication that John believed when he saw the tomb empty. Peter wasn't so sure. And then the disciples are together, the 11 are together behind a locked door, except that Thomas was not there. Jesus appears to them. And when the disciples saw Thomas, they said, we've seen the Lord, He's alive. And Thomas said, unless I see the wounds in His hands and the wound in His side, unless I can touch them myself, I will not believe. And Jesus returns again, and Thomas sees Jesus, and he says, my Lord, my God. Were two disciples walking on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus walked with them and broke bread with them, and they realized this is Christ. He is alive. And they hurried back to Jerusalem to tell the others. But can you feel the change? Can you see the change from the disappointment, the uncertainty, and the fear to the joy and the peace and the hope? And the thing that made the difference was Jesus rose again. We live in a time right now where there's a great deal of uncertainty in our world. There's a lot of fear in our world. We're afraid of this virus, and we're afraid of death, and we're afraid of what's going to happen to our jobs and to our bank accounts and our retirements. And We there is uncertainty, and even for those who could stand and honestly say, I really don't feel a sense of fear over these things. Whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and I can accept that. But they still are facing the unknown. They're still facing uncertainty, and that's not a comfortable place to be. But I want you to know that the same resurrection, the same Christ, the same King Jesus who rose from the grave to drive out the disappointment and the discouragement and the fear and the uncertainty from the lives of his followers on that day, that same resurrection should drive away our fears and our uncertainties. And when the world throws us curveballs and the world puts up roadblocks and the world changes overnight because of circumstances that are beyond our control, Jesus is still alive. And we still can face every uncertainty and every fear with peace and hope and joy in who Christ is, that he is the Lord over life, and he is the Lord over death, and he is Lord even over our sin and over Satan who wants to claim us. And he's Lord over you and me. Jesus Christ has absolute authority over your life and over my life. This is the foundational confession of Christianity. It's grounded in the resurrection. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. What's it mean for Jesus to be the absolute authority over our lives? Well, it means he reigns supremely. There is no higher authority than Jesus Christ. And this is true whether you believe in him or not. It's just a reality. You can walk outside and see the green grass, and you can say, "Well, it's not green; it's blue." It doesn't change the truth that it's green. And Jesus is King, and he is Lord, and he has absolute authority over us, whether you recognize that authority or not. You don't make him Lord, he is Lord. We don't decide that he is Lord. It's truth. And he rose from the grave and he rules and reigns over us supremely. But I also want you to see and understand that he loves you deeply. Why did Jesus die in the first place? Jesus himself said, I came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom, as a payment for any. The payment for sin is death, and Jesus paid your price. He did it to glorify the Father, and he did it to obey the Father, but it was out of love, because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It is out of love. God manifested his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So he is the supreme authority, but he also loves you deeply, more than anyone else. He's going to judge you eternally. John 5:22 says, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son. Jesus said this, just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. The gift of life comes from Christ. It comes from God. The work that to make it possible happened on the cross and in the resurrection. And someday we are going to stand before him, and either we will stand as born again followers of Jesus Christ who trust him, believe in him, confess him as our Lord, or we'll stand before him with the multitudes who deny him and reject his authority. There's only two places there to stand. I want to ask you this morning, do you believe in the resurrection of Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus rose from the grave? And will you surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ? Nothing else really matters right now. Either you believe that he's alive and you have personally repented and surrendered your life to him to worship him and follow him, to honor him, or you have rejected that authority. On the day that Jesus rose again, he showed us that he has the power to give us life. That when he says that there's a coming resurrection, he has the power to pull that off. He has the authority to make it happen. And the Word of God tells us that God does not allow his Word to fall to the ground empty. When Jesus says he's coming again, he's coming again. When Jesus says, you're going to experience the resurrection, I'm going to bring you back to life, he's going to bring you back to life. And what Jesus says, if you trust in me, you will have eternal life. If you trust in him, you will live forever. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I just ask you, Lord, if you would just speak to us today. Lord, glorify Jesus in the worship of the church. Glorify your Son. But Lord, may your Holy Spirit move in the homes and in the places where people this morning are gathering online. Lord, in the churches where people are in the parking lots in their cars, Lord, would your Holy Spirit move? And Lord, as the world listens and hears the message that Jesus is alive, I just pray that your Holy Spirit will move. And Lord, I pray, it is my prayer, that when the restrictions are lifted and when we can gloriously, joyfully come back and meet in these sanctuaries we call churches again, that there will be more of us. The prodigals will come home to worship you and serve you. And that there will be new believers among us who during this time of uncertainty and fear have realized that Jesus is alive and they need to give their life to him. Lord, glorify your name. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the grave he arose with the mind.